From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
We start off with a look at organized team activities, week three. Two more OTA practices to go and then mandatory minicamp coming up next week. Welcome into Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. JP Shattuck with you. Busy show today. DeJuan Smoot, we'll call him DJ. He wants to go with that. We'll hear from him coming up. Third round pick from the University of Illinois. And surprise guest Fred Taylor is on the program with us as well. John Osier on the desk. We've got plenty to get to today. What's up, guys? DJ, good to see you. Thanks for coming on with us today.
I know you're anytime.
Busy time right now for all the rookies. Mr. Taylor, always good to see you.
Always a pleasure.
No golf tournament today. What happened? The sky's open.
Well, my bags will stay dry. My clubs will stay dry. Just too much rain. Rain everywhere. I was in the airport for 7 hours.
You could have just driven up here.
Yeah, should have driven
time.
It.
But then I probably would have got here maybe 30 minutes sooner. Right. There's bad drivers in Florida, man. So it rained throughout the entire state.
DJ, talk to us. How's the first few weeks been here? OTAs now? You got what? Eight of them in, and then a mandatory minicamp next week after the rookie minicamp, all that you've had. Are you comfortable yet here?
I feel like I'm getting comfortable. I'm just taking it day by day, honestly. I mean, it's tough coming in, learning a new system, trying to figure out the schedule and everything, but it's getting better day by day.
That's the big difference, right, is that you're in school and you do some football things. You kind of split up your time, but now it is all football all the time, and it's a lot faster paced, right?
Yeah, it's a job now. I mean that's the best way to look at it. You just got to put your head down and work, and every day is you just got to come to work and play as hard as you can every day.
Has it sunk in yet that this is real? I mean, it takes time, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely takes time. I feel like it won't exactly sink in until that that first Sunday that I'm able to come out there with the guys.
You remember your first mini camp? Your first OTA? They didn't have OTAs back then, I guess. But
whoa, it was that long ago?
It's been a while. Yeah.
They had them. We just didn't cover them like we did.
Leather helmets and everything.
Prehistoric. Yeah. You know, I do remember, and Skip Richardson, Skip can vouch. I came in and I think I had muscle spasms, and soon after practice, I was in the training room on the training table crying tears. I was afraid that I was going to get cut. I didn't know how it all worked. I didn't realize the leverage that I had been the ninth pick, but thankfully I didn't get cut. But, you know, as DJ, right? As DJ mentioned, your head, you're all over the place. You're trying to figure it out, trying to get comfortable. And, you know, to you, I think the thing that I can say is I eventually learned how to develop a routine. And that routine sort of just got me through it. Just tack on to the right veteran. And they'll lead you the right way. So,
now, where are you in the locker room? They've put guys with different guys. Who are your locker mates this year, if you will?
I'm pretty close to Malik.
Okay.
He's like a couple lockers down.
He's the wrong guy, but go ahead.
No. he's not too bad.
He's good.
I feel like I've been put in a good place to where I'm able to really learn from some good vets, like you said. Mm-hmm. Just trying to surround myself with some pretty good vets. I've been able to talk to Clayus Campbell, too.
Right.
He's really gave me some pointers and stuff and just really helping me out day to day.
What's the biggest thing Calais has passed on? Because he's obviously the guy out of this bunch, 10, 11-year guy, two Pro Bowls. Mm-hmm. I assume when he speaks, you listen.
Of course, yeah, I listen. What he's really passed on is, like, really don't disappear when these pads come on. That's what he kept on stressing. I mean, right. I feel like I've had a pretty good OTA, like, this last couple of days using my hands and everything. But it's like, just don't disappear. Just always be out there really showing what you can really do. And the more and more you get reps, you just got to take advantage of those reps.
That's the difference, right? When the pads come on, it gets really real then, right? Yeah, you guys had pads all the time back in the day. Yeah, back in the day of leather helmets.
Yeah, we had pads all the time. And the man that did it is back in the building.
Right.
Everybody can play ball. We're all here for a reason. We can all play ball. And some guys look great in shorts. you know, not just looking great in shorts.
Thanks, Fred. I appreciate that. Thank you.
They perform well without the pads. And when the lights come on, a lot of guys disappear. I've seen a lot of great practice players, you know, vouching for these guys to get an opportunity on Sunday. And then when they finally get an opportunity, they disappear. But I think the one thing is just believing in your abilities, learning your playbook. You know, when you learn your playbook and you have a sense of urgency and you're committed to that, you let your instincts take over. And I think every football player, the one asset that we all have, the one thing that we all have in common is our instincts. But some guys can't react and respond at a high level because they're tentative and they sort of walking on eggshells. They're a little bit afraid to go full speed because they don't know their assignments. And I think that'll help you when the pads come on. When you know your stuff and you don't question anything, you can go lights out and you can just be, you know, very disruptive.
It's hard to get to that point, though. Hey, let's go to social media. What's your handle on Twitter and all that stuff? Instagram, where you do all that?
Yeah, I do both. On Instagram right now, it's BigSmoot_91. And then on Twitter, it's BigSmoot_94.
So 94 is your number here, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just changed. All right, so that's the new one. All right.
Yeah.
Let's go to Facebook. Question from Bob Dugold. What expectations do you have for your rookie season? Do you have certain personal goals you want to reach? Are you a statistics guy? Is it a team-oriented goal, or have you thought about that for you?
My biggest thing is that I don't want to limit myself to a certain number. All I'm really trying to do is just come out here, play as hard as I can, and just be able to get some wins for the Jaguars.
Yeah, that's a pretty nice answer. Hey, let's go continue on social media then. Let's go to social media question 3. Professor Floyd 88, what do you like most about being in Jacksonville so far? How have you been around in town a little bit, or has this schedule kept you in the building?
The schedule's kept me in the building a lot of the time, but whenever I do have time off during the weekends, I like to just enjoy the weather. Honestly, it's great weather out here. It's way better than the Midwest. I grew up in the Midwest my whole life. Just enjoying the weather, being able to actually go to a beach, have a beach about 15 minutes away from where I'm staying now. So just enjoying everything around Jacksonville.
Now, Fred, will he still enjoy the weather in July?
You know what? It's going to change. It's going to be different than anything that he's probably seen. I mean, it's going to be hot. And then when those, August training camp, it's going to get a lot hotter. When the pads go on, it's going to get even hotter. It's just going to be hot. Yeah. But, he's young, and I know he's up for the challenge. He'll get out there, he'll do great because he wants to. I can hear it in his voice that he wants to be a good addition to the team. So I don't think it'll faze him much.
What's the biggest improvement you need to make just as a player, as a defensive end? What do you need to do better?
I feel like I just really need to, right now, really just learn to play as much as possible. Like you said, just getting to that point where you can just play with your head on fire, you know, just not really thinking about what you're doing and where you need to be. Really, you're just trying to play like how you played in college, basically just really being comfortable in the system and being able to really just go out there and focus on the man across from you instead of the playbook.
Are you close to that, you think?
I feel like I'm pretty close. I'm getting comfortable, yeah, in the system. I know we've only put in like a quarter of the system right now, so it's a lot more things I need to learn, but I feel like I'm getting the basics down.
And the one thing everybody said about you on draft weekend right afterward was the incredible number of plays you played in college. Never came out of the game or very close to it. How much of an adjustment do you think it'll be for you next year when it's a rotation situation for you?
I feel like it's not going to be that big of an adjustment. I feel like I can play as much plays as they need me to play, honestly. I mean, I know the coaches are going to try to rotate as much as possible because they want the best guys out there, and they want to make sure all these guys are really fresh, you know. They want to make sure everyone's playing to their full capability. So I feel like I'll be able to transition that pretty well.
Now, what was the Michigan State number again? Was it 92 plays you played against them?
92 plays.
At some point, don't you just say, hey, coach, give me a break here. What we got? I mean, 92 is an unbelievable number of plays people don't realize.
Honestly, I didn't even notice it until after they told me it was like 92 plays. I was like, wow. I didn't notice it because it was such a close game. Mm-hmm. So it was really, we were fighting like from the first quarter to the fourth.
Now, I talked to your position coach a couple weeks after the draft, and he said the reason he didn't take you out is because he watched you. He didn't really do a play count, but he watches the players, and it didn't look like you were feeling it. It's Is that conditioning? What is that? I mean, obviously you're well conditioned to be able to do that.
That's a lot of conditioning in the off season.
I mean, you faked it well, right?
Yeah, faked it. Yeah. I mean, of course, there's certain times where you get tired. It might be a long play. It might be 10-second play at a time where they go all the way down the field and you got to run back down there and get ready. But honestly, it's all about the condition in the off season. I take my training very seriously, and I feel like conditioning is like a big part of your game. You got to be able to run around. You can't take any plays off. So, I mean, I just try my best to really stay as conditioned as possible.
Hey, DJ, it's good to see you. I don't know, you know, who's the best running back you've ever faced in your life, but Fred is probably still right up there if you were to throw on some right pads. There. Thank you. Yeah, I got good hands, too. Hey, stick around, Fred, will you?
I ain't going nowhere.
Okay,
man.
Good. We'll get Brian here in a second. Good to see you, man. Good luck to you, and good luck the rest of OTAs and mandatory camp next week.
All right, thank you.
DJ Spoot joining us here on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank Daily's Place. More shows this week. Tears for Fears, June 10th. And then Third Eye Blind with the Silver Sun Pickups. That's Fred's favorite. That's coming up on Sunday. Tickets available at dailiesplace.com. Fred, you got to see this place. It's unbelievable.
I've seen Daily's it from afar. It looks pretty good.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
Got to get up in there.
They've had about
10 tickets for me.
We might can work on that. I mean, your name's on the wall. I think you can manage that. We can make that happen.
JP should be asking you for tickets.
You're right.
That's how it works for you to go to, right?
Other way around. Hey, Brian Sexton's here. What's
hey,
up?
Brian.
Oh, Brian.
How are
Fred,
you?
Brian, I don't know if you've met.
I'm good. I'm
good. Oh, yeah. Many, many, many times. Nice to see you, Fred. How are you?
I'm good, man. Can't complain.
Boys good?
The boys are good. Still figuring out this whole teenage thing.
Yeah.
With my 14-year-old. But all is great.
I see you on Snapchat.
Yeah.
I want to say that because people
you know, and I was
going to
say Brian's
Snapchat.
New on Snapchat.
I'm new.
Yeah.
I'm new. I'm learning.
But yeah, I kind of move around Snapchat a little bit.
You're doing a good job. I'm impressed.
I let my sons take over. He's like, Dad, can I get a filter? Can I use the filter? Then I find myself on there. The other time, I'm just pretending to know how to play golf. Because it's either the boys or on the golf course. Yeah. And that's really
They never stop.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of Smoot? Pretty sharp guy.
I would say I spent segments of the last 2 days with him in media training. And of all the rookie players, he was the one who was sitting up straight. He was paying attention the most. He was taking notes. He was the most alert, the most involved in it.
Now, pretty composed, mature kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, he's not the most talkative yet, but there was a time, Fred, when you were kind of quiet. And then all of a sudden, I just – maybe it was the 52-yard touchdown run in week three. I don't know. All of a sudden, it just became easy. And so I'm waiting for that from Smoot because – when you have a smile like that and you're willing to go do the interviews,
right.
It's easy for you to get lots of them.
That's true. And Dan and I, we were just upstairs talking about it during lunch. And, you know, I remember Dan telling me, you know, just be yourself. Just go out there, be yourself. You have to be honest more than anything else. Be honest and learn how to dictate a lot of the interview. You know, they're going to ask questions. Don't just start blabbering all over the place. Just answer the question, and that'll help settle you and calm you. You're going to have a few guys that challenge you because they're great at what they do.
Right.
But stay the course. And that 52-yard touchdown, that's the poster right there.
Yeah, I know.
And
it's in the studio.
I point that out to people all the time. Yeah.
And he called
that.
It, too. He said, that's my first touchdown.
Well, now, if we're being completely honest, as you crossed the goal line, you had the ball in your hands. You didn't know what to do. Brunell saved you by running the distance and giving you a hug.
That is true. You know, what was that stuff that was illegal back in the
day? Stick 'em.
Stick 'em.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You never used that.
Never. No. I wish I would have. I mean, I can say it now.
Yeah,
I've had some balls in my career. I would like to have those catches now. Then too. But yeah, Mark saved me. I was didn't know whether to spike it because you see growing up you see guys spike the ball all the time.
Right.
And then you see a lot of guys running to the bench keeping their ball. And it was my first touchdown, my first ball. So I didn't know whether to spike it or keep it. So it was just stuck.
Now they just showed the Tampa play, Fred. I don't know if you saw it on the screen, but they were just showing the Tampa run. You told me before, still your favorite run? Still your favorite memory?
All time favorite.
Always will be, huh?
All time favorite. A lot of reasons for that game. Childhood friend, Rio Anthony played for Tampa. I was challenged before the game by Warren Sapp.
In that off season, right?
In that off season, I visited Riedel down in Tampa. We were at Sapp's place riding his jet skis. And just out of nowhere, I said, I noticed Tampa's on the schedule. Wait, I can't wait for that game. He said, young boy, you better not write a check that your butt can't cash. Yeah. But he said another word. I said, okay, first snap of the game, bang, like a four-yard loss. Second play of the game, same result. I was like, oh, what was I getting myself into? And somehow we were going into a two-minute drill just to get to the two-minute warning. Coach Coughlin called a counter that he usually called. Tony pulled, got out behind it, was able to cut it back, and the rest was history. So,
and it won it. Yeah, won the game, which made it
did some
fun.
Stuff with the goalpost that Mike Perkins has to edit out most of the highlights. But that was
Pete
a young
Prisco
crazy.
And I covered the team together back then. Pete, who's a good friend of yours, Fred.
Yeah,
and we always hated the inside draw to start off the 2 minute drill, and. That one worked, and we were like, oh, pretty good play.
That was a really good play.
Worked that time.
And like I said, the big guy got it in front. I guess they thought I was going to bounce it. That was they hadn't seen a whole lot of film on me.
Right.
And at the time, he's a speed guy. He wants to get outside. But I never wanted to get outside. My entire career, I had never wanted to get outside unless it just collapsed. I always wanted to go between the tackles and threaten the cutback, and it all just worked out.
What's it like for you seeing Tom in the building again?
Oh, it's amazing. You know, it's the first time I've seen him since he's been back. And I think he's going to be a great addition. You know, when I've seen him outside of the building, passing various other places, we just talk about, or I approached him to tell him about it took a while for me to really get it. Even when he was here as the coach, I didn't cause a lot of problems. That was just my makeup. But I didn't always get it either. I just kept my head down and I wanted to play ball. That was the reason I was here. Mm-hmm. But he did a lot of other stuff to try and show us, look, this is how you have to conduct yourself in the state, in the building, out in public. And I just was gradually doing myself. But I think that message was for a lot of other guys who were a little bit closer to the edge. And but when I got an opportunity to have been coached with Tom for 5 years, then having Jack for six, then in New England 2 years with Coach Belichick, that sort of opened my eyes to what Coach Coughlin had been trying to do the entire time. And that's just the conversation we have now, the sense of urgency, the accountability, you know, showing up, being a consummate pro and a leader across the board. Mm-hmm. And the conversation we just had was about just true leadership and focus and making the younger guys better, you know, and not pretending to be that that leader, but actually being that guy. So he's going to do some great things here.
Tom Coughlin in the news this week, too, talking about the Jaguars quarterback. He was on the Rich Eisen show earlier this week and had some interesting thoughts about number five.
He's a talented young man. Had some flaws in his throwing motion that he did a nice job of working on in the offseason and pretty much correcting. So we've seen some good things there.
He went on to discuss the business behind the fifth-year option, including leaving tags available for other positions. But the mechanics issue, guys, is the thing that's been there really from day one for Blake Bortles. It's still there going into year four for Blake Bortles.
I just want to clarify it because I spent some time talking to coaches at the end of last year, and they didn't talk about the release or where the ball was. They talked about his footwork. And you all know a quarterback's footwork is critical. Mm-hmm. Everything else you can fix relatively easily. The footwork thing has got to be there. So it appears that his footwork, and I think we saw a clip, YouTube or someone had it earlier in the year, and I was looking at his feet. I wasn't looking at his hands. I want to see his footwork cleaned up this year. I think that makes a big difference.
If he gets that right, it's the first step. And that's the step he has to make in the offseason. And then what's next?
No, the timing piece. Because if you're off rhythm, you're off time, you're going to make those throws. And he hits it at times, but it's not consistent. And I think the times when he doesn't hit it are the times we see the flutters, the ducks. And he's thrown, you know, quite a few of those.
Yeah. So every video we see on, you know, like Facebook, there'll be a highlight package from practice. It's the topic out there. First comments, third comment, fifth comment is about the arm and where it is and the motion and the footwork and all that. So it'll be a constant.
I think it's worth noting, and Fred, no one can speak to this better than you, Tom doesn't blow smoke. Him going on the Rich Eisen podcast as a PR effort. He ain't going to go on there and say what he doesn't believe to be completely true. So he didn't know a lot about Blake coming in, was honest about that until he got him on the field in the OTAs. And for him to go on and say they've seen improvement, to me, that said a lot.
And that's why this team will be better, because guys have to have that tough love. And he's always been that way. And then the guys have to go back and look in the mirror, you know, and they have to respect his body of work. So you said it. He's not going to sugarcoat anything. And as a player, I mean, eventually at some point you're going to love to learn and respect that, because it's only going to make you better, you know, not only as a player but as a person, as a dad, as a friend. You know, you'll be able to carry that past football, and that's what I got from him.
You bet.
Mm-hmm. Now, we can't let you out of here without asking about the number one pick, Fournette. What are your thoughts? Do you like him? How much have you seen him?
You know, I like him because he's a guy that came out of the SEC, so I had an opportunity to see a lot of his play.
He used to dominate Florida, though, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he did. He did. and Florida has some pretty decent defenses.
Yeah, sure.
So he's a huge guy who moves like he's 215, but with a lot of power and torque behind it. Big arms, he can stiff arm you and keep you away. So he has great reach. He catches the ball well. He has a solid jump cut where he can get outside. He's run away from people. The safeties better be aware. The cornerbacks better pay a lot of attention to him. Just like to have him make sure he's, you know, stay the course. Just get in here and understand what the business is about and understand why he was chosen that high. Because the team has expectations. So I think if he can juggle that piece and learn how to create a routine, I was going to mention that to DJ, it's about routine versus commitment. So, you know, once you develop a routine, learn how to take care of your body, I think he'll be a kid, God forbid, any crazy, you know, malicious injury or anything. He can be someone that can play for 10-plus years if he take care of his body.
He's got a lot of yards to get to that top spot, Daddy.
He has some work to do.
Who holds that top spot, Brian?
He has some work to do, but he can work it out.
In total yards or touchdowns? Oh, sorry.
Total yards.
Total yards.
We're talking touchdowns. No, man. Should I go talk to TC about that now, or is it too late?
You can go if you want. No, go for it. We can send you over.
No, Mojo.
Kidding aside, he's got a long way to go.
It'll be some stuff. But he has the opportunity. He's starting from scratch. And I missed a lot of games, so it's a lot out there. Mm-hmm. Even Mojo. You know,
but you played 11
play
years.
As long.
And that's my question to you. An 11-year career for a running back, especially a 230-pound running back, who admittedly liked to run between the tackles, that's almost unheard of in today's NFL. So a piece of advice for him on taking care of his body. Is it massage? Is it rest? Is it cold pool? Is it eating right? What does he have to do to stay healthy?
All of the above. Okay. So that would be A, B, C, the E.
E.
That would be E.
Oh, man,
all
he
of the
it.
Above. He has to do it. Yeah.
How long are you in the building today? And how long in town here?
I'm just cruising, hanging out, just catching up with everybody. And it always feels, I don't want to say foreign. You know, but what I'm saying is I need to be here more. Yeah. I would like to be here more. I have a lot of responsibilities with the kids, the family, you know, just a lot of other stuff, trying to stay above in my business ventures and investments. So I'm golfing. I'm a little bit all over the place.
I think I saw a Snapchat with you on a boat. And
yeah, it was a wedding.
The Caribbean?
Went to support some friends, okay. a childhood friend of my wife. So we went there. Awesome place, too, by
I
the
just
way.
Had to mention Snapchat again.
Yeah.
Are you ever not on this thing? When do you work?
Oh,
Facebook?
You know, hey, social media is what I do.
I was on there, too. Yeah, I follow Buselli, so he has a
it's what we
do.
Buselli doesn't
Snapchat.
Do a whole lot.
You mentioned that getting in here, sometimes it feels like you're not here enough. But
yeah, I mean, every time I come, it's something new moved around. Yeah. Like,
well, and it involves you most of the time.
They've done a lot.
But
here.
When you see Tom with the Jaguar cat hit back on the logo and see him in the building, I don't want to call it deja vu, but it has to make it feel more like home.
It definitely felt that way. We walked in from the parking lot today. You know, so when I pulled up, he was coming back in. And that brief moment, you know, it was like,
you felt like you needed to get in the locker room and get to
time
the team meeting.
Yeah. And I just saw where you guys said, if I can come down for 10:15. And when I looked at the clock,
in the building.
And then I looked at my phone. It's like 5 minutes off. So
some things a lot change. Of
it never changes. Yeah. And it is great. And I think the guys are going to benefit from it.
It's kind of cool to see Keenan here, too. I won't lie to you.
Seeing K-Mac earlier, that was great.
We had a mic up yesterday. People can see that on the website.
Right. But I get excited, really, when I see Greg Jones. Yeah. You know, because without Greg, a lot of that, what I did, doesn't exist. So seeing Greg this morning, too, felt great. Just you guys. I mean, honestly, just it's everybody. Family. There's a lot of familiar faces. And, you know, a lot of the young players. I don't have – Mercedes, I think, is the only guy
that you
on the roster that I play with. Yep. Yep. So, and I'm getting to know a lot of the other guys, but it's a lot of, you know, small talking quick, unless they're just picking my mind.
Right.
But it's good to, you know, catch up with people that I'm familiar with.
Well, it's always good to have you, and thanks for doing this on such short notice today.
It's all good. And I like to be a little bit more. So
well, come back anytime you'd like.
My pleasure. Appreciate it.
You can have JP's desk.
I was just about to say.
Nah. See, JP keeps me going.
That's right.
We text back and forth all the time and kind of, you know, keep each other going. So
that's my guy.
Appreciate you, boss.
Fred Taylor joining us here on Jaguars.com. Hey, this weekend, Blake Bortles and Malik Jackson have their youth camps. We'll have coverage next week on Jaguars.com. So podcasts later this week, senior moments.
Let's talk about Fred during the podcast.
Okay.
Good idea.
That was a good topic.
Fred, you got any gray hair?
In the beard.
You can be a guest on our podcast. We call it Senior Moments.
Had a salt and pepper game.
Here you go. You qualify.
Our thanks to DJ Smoot for joining us earlier today as well. For our entire crew, I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.